from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back. It's another weekend, another Locked On Chiefs, and we are getting rolling, still looking at what happened in the Chiefs' second preseason game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to run down the defense in the second and third segments, and we're going to go over some news of the day here as we start the show. I'm Ryan Tracy from RGR Football on YouTube, as well as Rogue Analytics, and he's Chris Clark from Chiefs Digest. How are you, Chris?
I'm great. How are you?
You know, I'm keeping it together. I'm doing a little bit better than another guy that we kind of had a cringeworthy moment the other night and knew that it was coming. So the top story of the day is that there are changes going on the roster due to some issues. Marcus Kemp unfortunately did get confirmed through MRI that he did tear his ACL and MCL. So he is headed to IR and is going to be out for the season. And man, it's just tough to hear, isn't it?
It's very tough to hear. The bigger question becomes who's going to take his spot, because he was a special teams ace, special teams maven. They liked him on all the core special teams groups. So big shoes to fill for whoever takes it. But it does open up a spot for a guy like maybe Byron Pringle or Cody Thompson or Rashard Davis.
Yeah, and those are the three that I've been looking at. I kind of feel like right now, still like we talked about yesterday, that Pringle is really the guy that's there. But looking aside from the offensive part, because that's what we've been focused on, because we've had the luxury, I think, of just knowing what Marcus Kemp is on special teams. The question was, can he contribute to the offense? Can he take that step forward? And good for him, he certainly was. That makes it all the worse. But I think the bigger loss out of not having him for this season is on the special team side, and not in the return thing, where you would think possibly that Rashard Davis might have a little edge. They have returners. They need gunners. They need guys that can break blocks, get down there and make tackles. I'm not sure any of those three guys that we talk about as wide receivers are options to replace him.
It's a great question, and I'm not exactly sure I'm not sure if you're right or wrong on that. I haven't seen it from Byron Pringle. I haven't seen it from Rashard Davis. And Cody Thompson is about the same size as Davis, so you wouldn't think that they have the ability to do what Kemp does, because his size did give him an advantage as a gunner. He was fast enough to be able to do what needed to be done. You know, moving forward, you start looking at how this is going to play out for the roster, and there's still a lot of question marks. You know, the second story of the day we need to get into as well, and the Chiefs are bringing back Jeff Allen.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of like an old friend, you know, comfy blanket kind of thing. Like, I think what we saw, and we talked about it a little bit, Khalil McKenzie had a couple of missteps. Even Andrew Wiley with the starting unit got caught on some stunts, and there are still some iffy things there. I think the depth is probably, while it is deep, maybe it's not exactly what they're looking for. Jeff Allen is a guy that can step in, knows the scheme, can certainly play on the interior, in that guard spot. I don't think you want to see him a tackle, much like Cam Irving, but I think he's a guy that can step right in. And what that means is these two changes really mean for me that I think this gets Jordan Lucas onto the roster, because I think he's the next guy that can do some of the things that Kemp did. And I think it may end up costing somebody like Khalil McKenzie a spot thanks to Jeff Allen.
I definitely think it's going to cost Khalil McKenzie a job, because I just can't see them keeping, well, one, signing Jeff Allen now and him not making the roster. You would have to think that he's going to be on the opening day roster unless he just comes in and looks horrible. But I definitely do think it's going to cost Khalil McKenzie a job. And I think that they're going to probably move on at this point from him and try to bring him back on the practice squad. He's looked bad enough that maybe he can get through there, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah, that's my thought as well. Like, he's got enough hiccups on tape now that I think it's a bit safer to try and let him go and bring him back to the practice squad. So I'm kind of leaning that direction too, but there are other guys, you know, we're talking about Cam Irving's the number two. Jeff Allen would obviously be, I'm sorry, Cam Irving's the number six, the primary backup. Jeff Allen would then become the number seven. I think Allegretti's going to be the eight. And so then you're talking about Pace Murphy, who is an option at nine, if they even keep nine.
I don't think they're going to keep nine. I think that's why they're bringing Jeff Allen back. I think that Allegretti and Allen are going to be the last two. I could be wrong on that. We'll see how the roster shakes out. But you look at the depth of this roster, and, you know, we talked about Carlos Hyde the other day being an issue and probably maybe playing his way off the team. That does open up a roster spot for a guy like Tre'Mont Smith down the line. But you have to look at it and say, okay, well, numbers still matter. So are you going to keep nine linemen? I just can't see it. The problem I have with him releasing McKenzie is yes, he's had enough missteps that I think that it's possible he could get through the practice squad. But to me, he's also shown great improvement from where he was. So I would think that with another year, they could really get something out of him. But I understand why they want to move on.
I agree with you completely. I think he is worth the investment. Even if they were to squeeze him onto the regular roster, I do feel he still has a ton of upside. So I'm with you there. A couple of other small notes. The trickle-down effect from the Chiefs to other organizations that are tied to them. You saw Dante Foreman get signed by the Colts. He has since gone to IR. And unfortunately, so is Darius Fountain, a guy that I really like for fantasy. But they signed Charcandrick West in the meantime. So West now has a spot. Josh Caldwell signed with the Bears. So Matt Nagy picking up what Andy Reid has decided to let go. So a nice couple of pickups there.
Yeah, and you have to think that Caldwell was a guy that the Chiefs actually answered calls on for people wanting to bring in a running back and tell them about Caldwell. Because Caldwell, I think, had a chance to make rosters in the NFL. I don't think that he had no chance here because of the depth at running back. But I do think he could make a roster somewhere else.
I agree with you. So that's our rundown for today, folks. The top stories right now is the team's changing a little bit. We're going to take our first break. We're going to come back and talk about some of the changes there on defense. You fantasy players want to listen to Vinny Iyer on Locked On Fantasy Football. With his 20 years covering the game, don't listen to the same old stuff as everyone else. Listen to the best. Check out Locked On Fantasy Football. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can improve your performance and have that extra confidence.
Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom.
Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package with no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Now, we talked a lot. We got a lot of questions, and I want to make sure that we cover most of these. And probably the one that I got the most was, what did you think of Ben Neiman? And we'll talk about the rest of the linebackers here in a minute, but I thought you saw some quality snaps from him. I thought he looked both agile in taking on blocks and in coverage. Now, this is, again, with diminished competition. This is not against starters. But I feel like he's definitely solidified himself as probably he and Darren Lee, the primary backups to the starting three. And I think something that they can get by with a game or two if he has to start for them.
Absolutely. And, you know, you look at what he's been able to do on the field. I think that's a good sign for his growth moving forward. He's also a guy that plays special teams and they use a lot on special teams, as you have to be if you're not going to be a main starter on defense or offense. So I think he's going to be a key contributor on this team. You know, he's not going to hopefully get a lot of starting snaps, and he's probably not going to play a lot on the defensive side of the ball, but he has shown that he has a knack for the ball. He has shown that he has great instincts, and that's going to help him on special teams as well.
Yeah, I think so. And that's where he's going to really contribute. And he's not alone. I thought Dorian Daniel put in some good work, especially in coverage the other night. Felt like he was where he was supposed to be, running around. He's struggled. It's been difficult for him, this particular transition to the 4-3. I still feel like he's got an outside chance to make it. If you're going to go top six, I think that includes him. I think I would still take him over Raven Davison. That's just my opinion. But where do you stand?
I would take him over Raymond Davidson, but, you know, at the same time, with as far as he's fallen on the depth chart, it's going to be a battle for him to make the roster. He has to make it as a special teamer. He hasn't shown that he has the ability to play in the base defense, at least to the coaches, with where they're playing him. And honestly, for a guy that has his size and his speed, he didn't really show out against threes and fours, and that's a big problem.
Yeah, and that's fair. Again, I think there's a lot of thinking going on, and I think that's probably the biggest problem. But aside from the guys that will be the primary backups, go ahead.
I was just going to say you have to be able to get past that, though. And I understand that this is his second year, But if you can't get past the thinking now, are you ever going to?
Well, it's his second year, and it's two transitions since he last year in college. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. So we'll see if Spags does. That's going to be the question mark.
Yep.
But, you know, talking about the backups, it's pretty evident Darren Lee's going to be the primary backup everywhere. He's played more snaps than everyone else basically combined this preseason. Graded out okay. I still feel he's too heavy for his own good. I know they wanted him heavier to be more helpful against the run, but I think it's taking away from his natural coverage ability, which doesn't look the same to me now as it did in New York. So I'm a little concerned about that, but also, you know, Reggie and Hitch didn't look that great in coverage either. I mean, not terrible, but definitely still transitioning to some of their responsibilities.
Yeah, there's going to be an adjustment factor for all the linebackers, and that's probably going to be one of the biggest positions that's going to take an adjustment period. Hitchens is a little surprising to me because you would think that he's going back to a 4-3, so it'd be a little bit more natural for him to switch back. Ragland's has never been really a 3 or 4-3 linebacker, so I understand that he's going to struggle in coverage, and that's something that we talked about throughout the offseason, that we didn't think that he was going to be able to do what is needed to be done from his position, and that's still a big question mark for him.
Absolutely. I still feel like if they just keep it simple and they don't ask him to do too many things in terms of distance, keep him closer to line of scrimmage, hit that middle hook, and just be that guy, I think he's going to be all right and he's going to contribute because he does have a nose for the ball, and he's proven that a couple of different times. So yep. I'm still looking for that to work in. I think really the surprise for camp, especially at the linebacker level for me, I thought Damian Wilson looked great the other night, taking on blocks, knocking guys around, fighting through them to make plays. He's really been, for me, the spark that I didn't expect. I expected him to be a middle-of-the-road type player and need an adjustment, but he looks aggressive, and I like that.
Well, and that's, you know, you start looking at guys like Damian Wilson. If you can make those types of signings home runs or even doubles, I mean, let's just be fair about it, even doubles, that's a huge deal. He was signed basically as a 2-year deal, really more like a 1-year deal, kind of a prove it type thing. So it's almost like a contract year is undefeated again, because if he plays well this year, he will get his second year, and his second year will look cheap compared to what he would get on the open market.
Absolutely. And he doesn't have to come up with every tackle. I don't know. I haven't looked at the stat lines, but I know he's real close to plays, but he directed things. He blew up some blocks, and I'm really encouraged by that. It might end up being that he is the best take on linebacker of everyone on this roster.
Certainly possible. And, you know, you start looking at the linebackers on this roster and, you know, Ragland's going to be a free agent. Hitchens is going to be going into year 3 next year. Is he going to make it to year 3 if he doesn't play well this season? There's going to be a lot of question marks headed into the offseason. Obviously, we have all of the season to play out and we'll see how that goes. But there are some big question marks, especially at the linebacker position for Kansas City.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we look at the guys that play in between them, a couple of things, and I'm going to run some of this down on RGR this week. We started to see a little bit of the wrinkles where we saw Frank Clark drop a couple of times. We saw some of those changeups, some overloads. In fact, Wilson was one of those on the one where he nearly got home, and then I think Alex Okafor got home the next time. Looking at just the front overall, I've seen nothing to dissuade me from the fact that I think this might be a career year for Alex Okafor. Not that he's going to lead the league or anything. His career high, I think, is 8 sacks. And pressures, I think it's 22. So I'm not saying that he's going to be, you know, an all pro or anything like that, but I feel like we saw so far, the attention given to Jones and Clark is allowing one-on-one matchups on the far side. And I think he's got enough. I think he's going to have the ability to be the guy that plays cleanup because of the attention on the other side of the ball.
Well, this is his best opportunity to have a career year. Absolutely. You have Frank Clark on the other side. You have Chris Jones in the middle. You know, you're going to have Derek Nnadi also taking on one or two, maybe two defenders, depending on the situation. And depending on the lineup that you have in your base D. You're definitely going to have some one-on-one matchups. You're going to have opportunities, and this is a great experience. This is a great time for him. You know, they paid him like a pretty good player, and I thought the contract was a little much, but it was free agency, and they wanted him. So now you get him, and if he plays and has career years his next 2 years next to Frank Clark, he's well worth the contract. So, you know, you can never have too many pass rushers.
Absolutely. And I feel very good about it right now. I also feel really good about Derek Nnadi. Like what we're seeing from him. And I started to see against backups, but I started to see some stuff from Colin Saunders. I know it's been slow in that particular position. He hasn't adapted as quickly as Hardman and Thornhill, but I do see it coming along. He had a couple of nice bull rushes the other night. I feel like he's just getting to that point where he can get his anchor a little bit more, get some drive. And when he's able to set guys up and then use his quickness, I think he's going to get there. And I think later in the season, he's going to actually fulfill some snaps.
Yeah, I definitely think he could. I do think that we need to talk a little bit more about the defensive line specifically and a couple other players. But what I will say real quick about Saunders is I think he has the ability to be something in this defense. He's not going to adapt in my mind as quick as Hardman, because Hardman is going up against NFL players. It's a different level of competition and all that. And I get it. But Saunders is going up against grown men in the trenches, and that's a whole different ballgame. So,
absolutely.
You know, you have to learn. That's all. Most of it's technique driven. And if you don't have the right technique, he's not coming from a big school. That's going to take some time. I think he still has a skill set, but it's just going to take some time, and you have to wait for it to adjust. But like I said, we need to take a quick break. And when we come back, I do want to talk about another defensive lineman.
The new Locked On NFL is on fire, with new host Brian Peacock joining Matt Williamson for your daily national podcast on all things NFL. Check out Locked On NFL.
All right, I think you know where I'm going with this.
I think I do.
Ivy.
Yep, making a push, right?
Absolutely. I thought Justin Hamilton was a lock for this roster. Is maybe like the, you know, fourth defensive lineman. I'm not so sure right now anymore.
Yeah, that seems to be the competition.
I'm not even sure Xavier Williams is going to beat Ivy with the way I saw Ivy play some of the plays the other night. I'm not saying he was great, but he flashed a lot.
Yeah, I was just going there too. I haven't seen enough out of Xavier Williams to make me feel like he's 100% comfortable. I think he is, but I'm not 100% there. And I'll tell you this, not only Ivy, but I think Speaks is coming along into his better range as a D lineman. Yeah, he's still out on the edge some, but I think he's more close to his game as it was in college and what he's natural at. Now, he did have a little bit of an injury, but he popped back up, and we feel pretty good about him right now. Folks, we haven't gotten any news on him as we record.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring up Speaks, and we'll get to that in just a second. But Ivy's play and his shooting, his ability to shoot the gaps that I saw and where they were using him is what really impressed me. I wasn't expecting him to rotate in with the ones. He did rotate in with the ones. Hamilton didn't come in until it was against the threes. So that tells you a lot about where they think he is. And Ivy, I believe, played a little bit with the ones in the preseason game number one as well. So it's not like they were just trying him out.
Right.
As far as Xavier Williams is concerned, I like him as a player. I like that he's from the Kansas City area, but it's really hard for me to see them keeping Xavier Williams. He doesn't fit what they want to do on defense in this defense. Can he play it? Yes. But I don't think he's the guy that I don't think he's going to be that fourth defensive lineman. I think you're going to be looking at a guy like Ivy as opposed to him or Hamilton, if Hamilton can somehow find a way to stick on the roster.
Yeah.
Especially considering the money.
Yeah. And you know, it's going to be a little bit of a transition with him probably pushing for that spot with Hamilton, Tonnell Passanio pushing for playing time. I mean, that's a huge story that we'll just have to cover another day. Maybe we'll talk with Matt about that tomorrow. A lot of changes there. But like I said at the top when we were talking about the Marcus Kemp injury, I think this changes the numbers in terms of the DBs. I think this makes Jordan Lucas a quantity that has to get on this roster. We saw him play some the other night. We saw Armani Watts play some as well. Watts still, I think, is transitioning. I'm not sure he's got the whole layout of where he needs to be. He still brings the hammer, but in coverage, I'm a little bit skeptical that he is 100% on where he needs to be in order to be on the field, and that's just going to leave it to the top three safeties.
Yeah, hard to know where they're going to go in that regard. You know, you start looking at the rest of the defense, you know, corner. I thought that DeMontre Wade, I thought, played okay. Then you start looking at a guy like Herb Miller, who I think is really making a push for this roster at this point. I never would have expected that coming into training camp, but it certainly seems like that is a possibility with the way he's been playing. I know he got beat on the touchdown late, but when it comes to corners, you're going to get beat at some point. It's going to happen. It's just the NFL.
Yeah, you're right. It was up and down, but he made a couple of nice plays early. He did get beat for that touchdown late. And that's, I think that's part of the transition to the NFL as well, because I would be coaching him up on staying focused, on staying in the game, because that looked to me when I rewatched that play, like a little bit of a focus lapse. Not that he was just beaten drastically physically, just looked a little bit slow on recognition and turning to run with the player. And I think that can be corrected.
Yeah, but the other plays he did make are something that it's really hard for you to be able to teach young players. You know, his ability to strip the ball, his ability to cut with the wide receiver and be there and make a pass breakup. I think he is really pushing for a roster spot. I didn't think that, like I said, I didn't think he had a possibility of getting earlier this season, but it does look like maybe he's past DeMontre Wade at this point in the Chiefs' eyes. And if he does, I mean, he would be your fifth corner. I don't know that they keep six. It's a numbers game, as with every other position.
Well, that change at safety may limit how many they can keep as well. You know, do you want to keep 11 DBs? That's a tall order. So I agree with you. So right now, and I will say this, it was only 7 snaps, but I thought Kendall Fuller kind of got a little bit quicker in recognition, was coming downhill a little bit better, played a lot of zone early in the first 2 drives, did Steve Spagnuolo, about a 50-50 mix by my count. So I think that helps Kendall Fuller. Maybe that made him a little more comfortable, but Fuller, Ward, Breland, clearly the top 3. Who do you have it for?
You would have to think it's Claiborne. I don't think they bring him in if they don't think he can be the 4th.
I agree. I think he may end up being the 3rd.
We'll have to see on that. I know you haven't been very fond of Ward, but I think Ward's played pretty well for the most part.
Man, I'll tell you, he had a couple of nice snaps in man. I'm still a little iffy in the zone thing, but in man, he looked comfortable. He looks like he's better than he was at the end of last season in man for me.
Well, and that's what's important. You got to keep getting better. And if he continues to get better, I mean, what'd they give up for him? A late round pick or,
and Parker Anger's knee.
Yeah, there you go. So you get it for almost nothing for a guy that wasn't going to make the roster last year. A lot of value there. And I think that he is going to be, I guess, somebody that's going to be playing a lot of snaps for Kansas City this season. I think that Claiborne may eventually take the 3 spot. You may be right in that because he's a veteran and they know they like experience. But it would not surprise me if Ward, I don't see Claiborne being able to take over until October. I just don't think he's going to know enough of the defense and be ready to go in time. But if Ward struggles early, that certainly could lead to him getting replaced in October.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And especially when you're talking about, okay, there's your top 4. Wade, we thought, was probably the next guy up. Maybe Miller's supplanted him at this point. That's definitely a competition. And then you have the 2 young guys in Fenton and Fields, and Fenton played a ton. And I thought he looked okay at times. I think he's just a little overmatched physically. And the guy that I came away with both happy and sad for, Mark Fields played well in coverage. He moves well. He relies on simplicity, but he blew a couple of tackles, and that's hard to watch. I just don't know. Of those 4 guys, we're only talking about 1 spot. I have no idea who it's going to be.
You would have to think they're only keeping 1 spot. And that would also mean that Fenton, who was a draft pick, isn't going to make the roster. That's certainly a possibility. I'm not going to say, I mean, the Chiefs have done it before. They did it with, you know, a 3rd round cornerback a couple years ago. Of course, that was a completely different situation, but you know, if Fenton doesn't make that this roster, I think that's probably a good sign for the depth that they think they have. Yeah, it seems like a wasted pick, but you're not always going to hit. And if you can find somebody better than what you got, you go ahead and do it. And obviously we both think that this is their Super Bowl window, so they have to make any move that they can to improve their team.
Absolutely. And speaking of moves, just a second thought. EJ Gaines was released on an injury waiver. And I don't know the extent of the injury. It could be severe. It could be something that, you know, he makes him unsignable. But EJ Gaines has played some good snaps in this league. Has a little bit of experience. And if you can research, and I am guessing the club is on the phones right now trying to find out the extent of the injury exactly. He may be another guy that may be a pickup that could end up helping later on.
Maybe. I honestly, at some point, I think you have to stop trying to go look at guys that are getting cut by other teams, especially ones that have been injured. I personally would like to stick with some of the young guys at the lower positions and maybe have those guys to bring in if you absolutely need to. I get the thought process, but at some point you're going to have to continue to try to develop guys that are on your program. I think you're going to have to look at keeping guys like Herb Miller and Chavarius Ward just because of depth purposes and just for building for the future. Yeah, it would be nice to have an EJ Gaines if he can supplant some of those guys, but I don't know that he's going to be better than your top three. Maybe if you have injuries and somebody goes down, that's a different story. But I don't think he's going to be a top three corner on this team.
Yeah, I can get with you. Yeah, I was thinking the four myself. But again, that is all dependent on the grade of that particular injury.
But if you start pushing him down as your four and you take Marcus Claiborne, if you take Claiborne up to your three, then you're pushing Ward down to your five. And that would probably put Herb Miller off the roster.
Probably.
I don't know that you really want to go that direction.
Yeah, and that may be absolutely true. It's a very good point. I'm just looking at who has experience, who has the things that this group doesn't have, and experience is what it is.
That's true.
Now, I never like seeing somebody, you know, move around as much as he has. So I can't say that that's a big plus, but, you know, I'm just saying a phone call or two is probably worth it.
No, I mean, I'm with you on the phone call. At some point, you have to start looking at the depth of your roster in the future years. And I know you're all in on the Super Bowl this year, but if you give up a guy like Chavarius Ward and he becomes a starter, a great starter in 2 years, was it really worth getting EJ Gaines for half a season?
Probably not. I think I'd rather give up Pace Murphy.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's all different kinds of directions you can go with that. Problem is, you know, when you get into the other problem that we haven't really ever discussed, and there's really no need to get into it deeply, but the bigger problem with the roster isn't necessarily that there's only 53 people. It's that you can only have 45 active on game day. So
absolutely,
that makes a huge change as to how many players you can have at each position. Because maybe in a situation where you would want to have six corners, you can't because you can't dress six corners. You need, you know, seven offensive linemen, eight offensive linemen, whatever you think you need to have on game day.
And I'm very intrigued to see if that continues with the new CBA. That's one of the things that might be a change that comes to the league, I hope.
That would be a big change that needs to happen because I can't understand the thought process of only having so many players. But I do know that it's going to be a big process change because there are so many things that are tied to that number, whether you're active or not.
Absolutely.
And that's something that needs to be fixed completely. And it's going to be a bigger thing than just saying, oh, well, all 53 can be active on game day.
Right. And yeah, there's especially other expansions.
Right. Especially when you start talking about practice squad players. Sorry.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. It all ties together. And we'll go over that more in depth at another time, folks. We're running over for today. So I think we'll call it here. We're going to have Matt Derrick on tomorrow. We'll go into some other topics and we will circle back to this probably as we get closer to, when we hear news about the CBA, although talks are ongoing. So keep your eyes open for that. Let us know what you want to hear about, and we'll try to make sure that we answer your questions. You can hit us at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter. You can also hit the phone line at 913-777-4457. Leave us a voicemail. We'll try to even get you on the show. So it is a little bit of a rigmarole. We see a lot of missed calls, but not a lot of messages. So stick with it and give that a shot. Thanks for listening to us today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.